Welcome to Big Foamy Head and Dinner with the Brett Pack. This is a different sort of show. We haven't put a show out in about a month because of one thing after another, and unless you've been hiding in a cave or under a rock, anybody who cares about beer knows that this past October, one of the premier events, the Great American Beer Festival, occurred. And I'm sure you've heard this on every other beer podcast, and we're not going to be that much different. We're going to tell you about our Great American Beer Festival, but we're going to share with you what happened the day before the Great American Beer Festival.
Yeah, there's a lot of really great coverage out there with Jeff Bearer from Craft Beer Radio, and Phil did some segments, and then
got a lot of video.
Johnny Mac was there. There are lots and lots of podcasts there, so you should be able to pick up something. Rick Sellers from Pacific Brew News was there. They're going to have very extensive coverage from the floor of the event. We came up with a special angle, I think.
Yeah. Honestly, when we got out there, we just thought, oh, screw this. We're drinking beer. We had a good time at the Great American Beer Festival and tried to insert ourselves in everybody else's podcast rather than do work ourselves. So, you know, we started off, I went to visit Rick, and I think we might have alluded to this when I went to visit him, and we were sitting at the Avery Brewing Company sampling room, and Peter, the marketing dude from Avery, let us in about this dinner they were going to have with these gold medal winners. And we're talking about the giants of the craft brew industry, very limited amount of tickets. It was going to go on sale. He expected to sell out instantly. And Rick got us tickets. So we got to go in and have this really nice beer dinner, beer and food pairings at a very nice restaurant in Boulder with the likes of Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head, Rob Todd from Allagash, and Adam Avery from Avery Brewing. And there were also beers from Russian River, Vinny Couldn't Make It, and Port Brewing from Tommy Arthur. And so it was really nice for us to go and hang out with these guys. And I had never seen any of them. And as we're sitting down, these guys are running around handing out cards and marketing propaganda and stuff. And, you know, I thought they were like, you know, the kitchen help or something. It turns out that was Sam and Adam and Rob. They, you know, they get out in the trenches, do their own work.
Right. They were going table to table and meeting with all the people that had bought the tickets for the dinner. And I think they were pretty happy to be there themselves. I mean, they were kind of giving Tommy and Vinny grief for not showing up.
Yeah. And it was really nice. I mean, it was like the word intimate event comes to mind. It was, 40 or 50 people. And these guys really let their hair down. As the night progressed, things got funnier and funnier. We got a lot of the inside stories. You know, they got their stock-in-hand stories that they tell to the media, that they tell at all the events. But we got some little inside stories, too. And it was pretty fun. And everybody just had a big time. They were hooting and hollering over at their table. Nobody was, not that these guys really put on airs, but man, they were really letting go that night. It was just a big, fun time. And, you know, the next day, of course, we're in line with 10,000 plus people. And the same guys are there, but it's just, you know, no way, man. You're never going to get some quality time. So we really enjoyed this. Great food, great beer. And, I guess the proof is in the listening.
Yeah, listening to the audio just kind of brought it all back. It was a really special evening, and we're just going to play it segment by segment, and there'll be the brewers introducing the beer, and then I give kind of like a recap of the food we're eating and stuff. So
take a listen.
So we've got our seats. We're looking at the menu. It says 5-course dinner with the Brett Pack, the Brettamison.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Featuring Adam Avery from Avery Brewing, Rob Todd from Allagash, and Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head with Russian River and Port Brewing Beers. We're going to start off with scallops with roasted autumn vegetables, paired with Avery Maharaja and Allagash White, which is kind of interesting. It's an IPA and a white ale. I got Belgian wit, I guess. Second course, seared duck breast and duck confit with squash puree with one of our favorites, Dogfish Head 90 Minute and Russian River Temptation.
Both of them are wonderful beers.
Third course, Long Farm Pork Belly, Braised Abadanza Cabbage and Apples, Russian River Damnation, Port Brewing Red Barn. Yum. All good. We've had both of those too.
I don't remember having the Red Barn.
Yeah, we did. I brought that back. That was one. That's like their farmhouse ale.
Okay. So like a Saison then?
Like a Saison, yeah. Okay. And so the fourth is the Braised Macy Farm Beef Short Ribs with another favorite, Allagash Curio and the Port Brewing Ten Commandments. Don't know about that. And the very last one, Chocolate Nemesis with Avery Mephistopheles. Oh, man, they're sending us out with a big boy.
Dogfish Head.
And Dogfish Head Fort, which we've had Fort. As well. No, Fort was the one we didn't have. We had the red and white and the black and blue. Fort was the other one, so that'll be very interesting.
I was trying to remember the one I had. It was quite good, but I've forgotten the name of it.
I have heard about the Fort, and the Fort's supposed to be really good. So these last beers, if they hadn't kicked your ass by then, that's going to do it. Yeah.
So what do you think of the 14?
Very good. Good stuff. This is a nice start.
So I'm not sure what it is.
The 14? I don't know. It's got a lot
of
alcohol.
It's a brown ale.
Got a lot of alcohol, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's
well, I guess somebody, I'm hoping somebody will like give up.
Strong and peppery. It might be a triple.
Yeah. Because what was it? The Reverend is their quad.
Yes.
So it may very well be. I bet it's 14% alcohol. We'll find out.
Probably.
We'll have a good picture of what we're going to be doing. Everybody has three glasses. The small, short one is your water glass. and the two taller ones are the beer glasses. So, just to logistically and save on water and everything, we have some wash buckets out on the tables. If everybody can kind of share that at the end, when you're done drinking the beer, just give your glass a quick little rinse and give it a nice little dunk. And we'll just keep using our same glasses. If anybody has any questions or needs anything, definitely flag somebody down and we'll take care of it. We'll just have fun and enjoy the food and the beer.
This is Rick, Big Foamy Head. I'm here with Dick, and we are in Boulder, Colorado right now. And we're in a place called The Kitchen. And it's a five-course dinner with the bread pack. And we're here with Avery Brewing Company, Dogfish Head Brewing Company, Allagash Brewing Company. We also have beers from Russian River and from Port Brewing. Vinny and Tommy did not show up, but we do have Adam Avery, Rob Todd, and Sam Calgioni here. Anyway, very much enjoying our meal. We just had the first course, scallops with roasted all autumn vegetables and marjoram dressing. The Avery Maharaja and Allagash White, of course, went down very well. And we're just waiting for our second course to come out, and I'm hoping that we'll get to talk to the brewers themselves. Very generous guys. They walked around and they handed out fact sheets about their beers, and they also chatted us up a little bit. And we had a nice conversation with Sam Calagione. Nice guy.
There's really five of us. We collectively went to Belgium a year and a half ago. I was writing a book called Extreme Brewing, and I told my publisher, yeah, I'd love to write it, but if I get the chance to do this, I want to kind of pay tribute to the mecca of non-traditional brewing. And their country is considered traditional, but Belgium is very inspiring for our breweries. And to get to go over there and do that together was wonderful. Really what it came to, this is Katie, who, by the way, was our assistant distiller and brewer at Dogfish Head in Delaware, and is now here, so it's wonderful.
Wow.
GABF, Boston and stuff, we noticed a pattern where there seemed to be the same four or five people that were awake at the end of the night. It was me and Adam and Rob and Vinny and Tommy from Russian River and from Port Brewing Company, who they couldn't be there, but we promised to represent their beer tonight and speak a little bit about it, which we will. But real quickly, on our beer, Dogfish Head, we opened in 1995 as the smallest commercial brewery in the country. In that era, there were about 1,200 breweries in America. We opened with the sort of mission of off-centered ales for off-centered people. We had no aspirations of brewing light lagers. In 1995, the average beer that came out of our brewery was made with 6 ingredients and was 9% alcohol. Flash forward to today, we're do 51,000 barrels. We're the biggest brewery in the Mid-Atlantic, but we still brew a beer that's average is 9% alcohol and is 6 ingredients. So while we're happy that we've grown, we're more proud of the fact that we've been able to grow without sort of dumbing down our beers or bending towards what the majority of beer drinkers in America are drinking today. It's really sad because there's 1,400 breweries in America now, and yet still 3 as of a week ago, but now 2 breweries control 85% of the domestic market. Coors slash Milk & Woe, it feels weird to say that. And Anheuser-Busch, between the two of them, control 85% of the market, and yet that 85% is essentially the same fucking beer. Lager, very loosely in the Pilsner tradition. And looking down this lineup that Ray and Peter made tonight, we're not going to encounter any beers like that. That's a wonderful thing. Our 90-minute, we traditionally, breweries will add hops 2 times at least during the brewing process, once early in the boil for bitterness, once at the end for aroma. I was watching a chef show in like 97 or so and saw the chef talking about, well, if you add the pepper incrementally as you're making the soup, it'll weave its flavors into the final dish much more delicately than if you added that same volume in 1 or 2 large additions. So I was going by a Salvation Army and I found some of you guys might remember the vibrating football game. Yes. So I got one of those and I drilled holes in a 5-gallon bucket. I took a chunk of wood and put the bucket, duct taped the bucket to the vibrating football game and pelletized hops in the bucket. And depending on what angle we put the football game at, we could vibrate the pelletized hops into the top of the boiling beer. Super high tech shit. And so the game got wet and broke, but but it worked. Basically, our whole idea of continual hopping was born from that, which is if you add the same volume of hops in the same small doses continual while you boil the beer, it makes your beer that's really, really inordinately hoppy and pungent without being like crushingly and unpleasantly bitter. So 60 minutes of boiling, continual hops, 90 minutes, 90% alcohol. So that's that. I'm gonna let Adam come up and talk about one of our brethren's beers. But I told Tommy and Vinny that we would really represent them well. And what's great about them is of our contingent of 5 of us, they're the only 2 from California. But that's not the only thing that they have in common. When we were in Bellsman together, in talking, just casually, we realized that they both have 7 of the 10 most aggressive venereal diseases. And they didn't know this. But when you're drinking their beers, recognize that the boiling process gets rid of the majority of
I talk about Vinny's beer, Vinny Scalizo from Russian River Brewing Company, one of my favorite beers in the country. And actually, when we talk about the 5 guys from Nova Belgium, I mean, truly, I love their beers. That's why we really get along, is because we understand each other's kind of madness. I mean, we all are like super passionate about beers, and we kind of all have our different bends in the way that we make beers. Maybe Sam and I are kind of similar in like going to make, you know, huge, aggressive, you know, like crazy beers. Bob loves that Belgian. He just makes Belgian beers, which is really cool. Tommy makes a lot of crazy stuff. Vinny, for me, I mean, I love Vinny. I mean, he's a great friend. And I think that for me, I would say that right now, I think he's the best brewer in America. But he, because of the style of beers that he makes huge hop bombs like Pliny the Elder. Anybody know that beer here? Pliny the Elder, yeah. You know, Blind Pig IPA. You know, I visit him, I'm just like, he just makes great beers. And his talent and his passion lies in, you know, barrel aging. His parents actually owned a vineyard in Petaluma, Temecula, which is in Southern California. And so he grew up, you know, basically, you know, making wine, and he really started to, his experience with alcohol with wine. As he grew up, he became a little bit more, you know, beer eccentric, and he's really brought that the essence of wine into beer making. And so with Temptation, it tastes like, I think, one of the finest beers made in America. I mean, there's a lot of great beers. I mean, we all make really good beers, but this one is really unique in that he's taking like a blonde Belgian beer. So a very, very small beer, and he's putting it into Chardonnay barrels, French oak, and he's adding Bacchus myosis, which is a fairly wild yeast that produces sort of these like horsey hair, horse sweat, kind of barnyardy flavors, which to a lot of you may be like, that's not a compliment, but in the beer world, I mean, it's a total compliment. So to smell this beer. I mean, this beer is like, it's so unusual. Vinny's favorite beer in the world is Orval. Does anybody know what Orval is? Okay, yeah. Orval is one of the greatest beers in the world. They use a small amount of Brett. This has got a little bit more aggressive Brett flavor to it. So you get that really, really kind of horsehair kind of flavor. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Thank God. But it's a very unique. It's a very unique beer. I mean, you saw how it poured. I mean, you pop the top, and it volcanoes out the bottle. You know, so it's very volatile. There's a lot of CO2 being produced in that secondary fermentation. Just an excellent beer. I mean, I think it's only for connoisseurs, obviously. So if you like it, great. If you don't, I don't think you need to be upset. But does anybody get this beer? I mean, you know, so we got some beer connoisseurs here. Great. Before I sit down, I know I talked a lot, but Vinny and I did a little collaboration beer. Is anybody heard of collaboration, not litigation ale? Yeah, just real quick. We're really good friends. We had two different beers that I called mine Salvation, he called his Salvation. So that's how I met him. I actually called him and I was like, you know, I have a beer called Salvation, so do you. What do you think about that? He's like, no problem, just keep making it, you know, no big deal. But in the future, maybe we should do some kind of, you know, blend or something, and that was back in 2000. And it took me 4 years to actually come and visit him at his new brewery in Russian River. It's a beautiful brew pub. It has great pizzas, great beers. And I remember pulling up, it took me about an 8-hour drive from, I was actually in Baja doing surfing, but it took me 8 hours to get to his place. I pulled into the place, and he told me that I drank a pint of Pliny in like 1.3 seconds. And I had many after that, but we actually sat there and we blended our two Salvations until we found this perfect blend of our beers. And that was in April of 2004. And it took us about 3 years to actually, you know, come up with I actually had the capacity to make a beer, his beer and our beer at the same time. So he came to our brewery in November of 2006. He brewed his beer at our place. Brought in all his own malt, all his yeast strain, and brewed our beer, blended it, and then earlier this year in January, we actually made this beer called Collaboration Not Litigation. We made about 1,000 cases, and we shipped it to, I think, 30 states. And it's a beautiful beer. And some of you have it, hopefully. Hopefully somebody's had that. Yeah, great. But it kind of just shows, you know, the way that our industry is. As my friend Sam always says, you know, this industry is 99% asshole free, and it's a true statement. I mean, here you have two guys with the same name of beer. We make a blend, you know.
two of my great friends here, we're having a beer dinner together. I don't think, you know, Pete Coors and Augie Bush are doing a beer dinner together. I don't think so. I hope everybody's enjoying themselves. Cheers to all of us. Take care.
We just finished our second course, and it was a seared duck breast and duck confit with Munson Farm squash puree. Delicious. Very elegantly served, well presented. The duck confit just blew my mind. It's the first time I've ever had it, and it's very delicious. Obviously, it's full of fat. That's why it's so good. Anyway, it was paired very nicely with the Dogfish Head 90 Minute and a Russian River Brewing Company Temptation. It was nice because Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head stood up and told us the story behind the 90 Minute and his football game table where he was continuously adding hops. He started as one of the smallest brewers in the country. I believe he had a 5-gallon system, maybe a 10-gallon system, but he was brewing day and night. But all of these guys, the five of them, all came from very small beginnings and have grown into national brewing legends, really. Obviously, the Russian River Temptation, very tart, sour, kind of had the... It was inoculated with Brettanomyces. They described it as being a Belgian blonde, and once you inoculate it with the Brettanomyces, it becomes a drier beer, becomes tart, and has horse blanket characteristics or horse hair. So Vinny's not here tonight, but Adam Avery stood up and talked about it. And apparently these guys spent a while together as they toured the breweries in Belgium, which is where they developed their friendship. And they also talked about kind of the Avery Russian River collaboration beer, which is an interesting story. The two of them had a beer of the same name, Salvation, and they got together and blended it and sold about 1,000 cases of it. I did not get to try it, but hopefully I will someday. If any of our listeners have a sample of the collaboration, please send it forward. All right. Well, we're getting ready for our third appetizer, or our third course. I'll get back to you soon.
Brewing Company, which is in San Marcos. Stone's old facility. Tommy's got some great beers. We actually, after going to Belgium, the next time we got together was all going to Tommy's new facility, which you just built. And we all brewed a beer, which we, I don't even know why, we named after the Belgian foam company, Malproximus. I don't know how we came up with that name. But, we brewed this beer together. Actually, basically, Tommy brewed the beer, and we just...
We drank margaritas.
Dude, we got really fucked up. We drank margaritas. I think I spent most of the time, I don't know if any of you seen on YouTube, if you put Mentos and soda bottles. So we started talking about that. We had the supermarket. We got about 10 2-liter bottles of soda and Mentos. And so I was blowing up bottles of Mentos in the parking lot. And Adam, actually, this is one of the, there's kind of a reason to the story, but Adam, the whole time, ended up getting so drunk. He was up on the mash tun platform. He wouldn't let anyone near him with the hose. He wouldn't even take, he wouldn't even take his hand off the trigger of this hose. He soaked the place. And actually, they had to get tarps for the computers. But when I got there, I was trying a bunch of Tommy's different beers. And I mean, I love all Tommy's beers, but I got to this beer and I was like, man, I fell in love with this beer. This beer's phenomenal. It's the Red Barn. It's a traditional farmhouse style Belgian beer. Got definitely a very traditional Belgian character. So I mean, I fell in love with this beer when I was drinking it. That's why I wanted to talk about. That's why I wanted to talk about this beer. I don't know why Tommy and Vinny didn't come up here. We promised to give them a lot of shit. We didn't do it. We were joking around about getting a couple blow-up dolls in a sex store and dressing them up in Russian River and the Fort Bowie Garden. We didn't do it. you should have done it. But make sure if you see any of them at the GABF, you give them shit for not coming up to this beer. Yeah, but enjoy their beers. This beer is a phenomenal beer. It's my favorite beer that Tommy brews. It's great beer. Enjoy it.
Grapes. Well, what does our climate allow us to grow? Barley, fruit. And so they had this amazing tradition that started with that. And Vinny has taken a new world extrapolation on that tradition and brewed Damnation, which is a gorgeous golden ale. We were in a, I guess you'd call it gentleman's club in Belgium, right? Or you're in, you know, whatever the equivalent of Times Square is in Denver, or whatever city you're in, you're stuck in this club, and you're seeing beautiful women, and you're with your friends. This is probably inappropriate, but that's okay. And you're drinking like Miller Lite or something equally horrific. And but we were in this gentleman's club in Brussels, and we were drinking Dubal, weren't we?
We were on the rest.
We were. And that was beautiful. And it reminds me of me every time I taste Damnation, because when I submitted my my expense report from that night, $1,400, and my wife is the one who had to clear them through at my company, Damnation came to mind. It's a beautiful beer by Vinny and Russian River. Enjoy it.
Okay, if there was going to be a soundtrack to my life, it would go dun dun dun. Anyway, dun dun dun. Here we are after our third course. We had some long farm pork belly with braised Abbondanza farm cabbage and Jonah apples. The apples were very, very delicately spiced, seasoned. They weren't cooked at all. They're still raw. Just a little bit of seasoning on top. Very wonderful. Cabbage, excellent. Small portions, obviously. They're presenting it very artistically. Pork belly is very, very soft and moist, which it's hard to get with pork. The beers we had with the third course were the Russian River Brewing Company Damnation and the Port Brewing Red Barn. Obviously, Vinny and Tommy are not here, so we had presentations from Sam in place of Vinny, and then Rob Todd in place of Tommy from Port Brewing. Interesting stories about their trip to Belgium, of course, and the opening of the Port Brewing, or the Lost Abbey Brewery, that they bought from Stone. And then how they all got together and brewed a beer. So, they're very good. I think after having the Temptation, the Damnation, and the Red Barn, are kind of, they're overwhelmed by those two. They're just not strong enough to carry themselves. But the pork is went well with the lighter tasting beers, I think. So, anyway, we're having a pretty good evening, and I'll get back to you with the fourth course.
Port Brewing Company. This guy is awesome. He makes some really crazy, unbelievable beers. Our first connection was in 1998. So a little bit, it's kind of a long time ago. He called me and he was like, "Hey man, I had your beer, Hog Heaven, barley wine." And he's like, "I really want that for our Strong Ale Fest." And I was like, "Who the hell are you?" He's like, "Well, I'm Tommy Arthur, blah, 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 and I'll pay for your beer if you send it to me." I was like, "You're in, buddy. Yeah. Pay for the beer, I'm going to send it to you." So this guy has had a Strong Ale Fest for the last almost 10 years now, and down in San Diego. Great fest. We sent our beer in, and we did really well with it, and people loved it. So tell me about, we've been friends for like, I don't know, like, I think I went there the first time in 2000, and I've seen, what's that, 7 Strong Ale Fest now? Unbelievable fest. If anybody wants to go to a really good brew fest, the San Diego Strong Ale Fest,
typically he has it in December, like the first week of December. Mark it on your calendars. Go then. Something to do. Anyway, his beers, like Vinny's, are spectacular. He loves the barrel-aging thing. He loves craps. He loves doing different kinds of things with bugs. This beer is Ten Commandments. I've seen him like fry up the raisins in a pan. I mean, like he's like frying them up. He throws them into the kettle. So it's like this really raisin kind of flavor in this beer. Total fused fruity, astery bouquet on this beer. I think it's like 9 to 10% alcohol, which is actually a mid range for all of us. I think that's a session beer.
Light beer.
No, but just as, I mean, it's a beautiful beer. Everybody, you see, swirl this beer, smell it, drink it, everything.
Phil would enjoy this. It's definitely a place that a foodie would enjoy being. For our fourth course, we had the braised Macy farm beef short ribs with raisins and soft polenta. And I am now a huge fan of soft polenta. I've never had it before. It tasted like grits and butter. Just fantastic, especially with the short ribs. The short ribs are so tender that they just fell apart. You can just pull the bone out of them. Definitely well cooked, and the seasoning, very delicate, very gentle. They matched it with the Allagash Curio. Rob Todd came out and gave us a fun story about how he used to live in Boulder, and he did construction here, and he used to drink hams. And you notice his little hams drinking schedule after he got off of work and before he'd get to the liquor store to buy some more. And then the second beer we had was the Port Brewing Ten Commandments, and it was Adam Avery came out and talked about that, right? Poor Tommy Arthur, I think he said his name was. And he said that actually he fried the raisins before throwing them into the beer. So I'm kind of wondering if he fried them in grease. I don't believe so. That'd be kind of a strange combination with beer. But Rob Todd also had some funny stories about how Curio came about. It was an experimental beer. The obviously people are drinking, so the noise levels are going way up. But he was saying that they ran out of bottles and the delivery was late. So they, instead of throwing away 100 gallons of beer, they decided to pour them into some Jim Beam whiskey barrels that they had. And the fermentation was so active that it just kind of blew the bung out of the barrel. But the taste was so good that they immediately went and bought 10 more barrels from Jim Beam. So we're moving on to our fifth course. Audio's getting real tough because the people next to us are getting a little more liquored. So hopefully we'll be able to bring us some more audio, but if not, we tried.
So, real quickly, just to give you an idea of how we went from me and Ray were sitting right here a couple weeks ago drinking almost all of these beers, figuring out how the food's going to work with it. A lot of it is just, like I mentioned, sort of the chemistry almost, where the things are higher in alcohol. You want things that are sort of higher in fat or richness to sort of absorb them, allow them to melt. A lot of it, you know, you kind of think is, oh, this beer has some orangeness to it, so let's put some orange in the food. What's kind of fun is then, say, like something like duck that goes well with orange, is allowing the beer to then be the orange for the duck and sort of letting them each fill in the gaps for each other, which sort of, to me, allows, they become more than intermixed than just sort of beering each other. And that's sort of the excitement when, it's sort of blurred. We're having a blur out.
Lucas Sands of Props right now. He's been making like weird beers for a long time, and he's definitely an inspiration for me. Worldwide Stout is like one of my favorite beers in the world. What we tried to do with Mephistopheles was like maybe, you know, like add a little bit of like weirdness to it. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So we used a Belgian strain on this, so we got a lot of fruit flavors going on. We got a lot of to me it's like there's some cherries, there's some berries in that in the aroma. And to finish, we still have that coffee, that double espresso kind of finish. Very weird beer. But if any of you have both beers available, you should blend both. Because together, I just did this over here. This fourth and this together are like ridiculous. It's like a raspberry double
imperial. All right, we have decayed into chaos, but I'm going to go ahead and cover the dessert course of the meal. Again, this was the meal was served at the kitchen. It's a 5-course dinner with the bread pack. And for dinner, we had a Chill Nemesis raspberry with raspberry preserve meringue. And very thin slice of pie, a small puppy pastry cookie to go with it, and maybe a little dab of, cream, whipped cream to go with it. But the real treat with the dessert was we had the Avery Mephistopheles and the Dogfish Head Port. I'm looking at the Dogfish Head Port, and this is a an ale brewed with pureed raspberries. It says, flavored ale fermented with over a ton of fresh pureed raspberries. This flavored ale was made to age with the best of them. And again, I keep having to go back to this, but Sam Calagione stood up and he was talking about his beers, and he was talking about the fact that they are really trying to match the beers with the foods. They're trying to find beers that will go well with dinner. And he pointed out that, wine basically has your water, yeast, and grapes. Well, beer obviously has four ingredients, so the complexity goes up right there because we're adding the hops. But they can also do the oak barrel and the mixing with the bourbons and the whiskeys and, you know, I don't need to sell. If you're listening to me, you're obviously sold on drinking beer. But I will tell you that the Mephistopheles was dark black, had a tan head, reminded me very much of a Russian Imperial Stout. Sam mentioned that it was brewed with the Belgian yeast. It had coffee, espresso taste, and some chocolate. The port itself from Dogfish Head is an ale brewed with the raspberries and had a fruit flavored, fruit colored. If you looked at it, you could see the chunks of fruits in it. It's the world's strongest fruit beer. So I strongly recommend that you get the Dogfish Head if you're going to have a chocolate dessert. It just goes wonderful. It's like having a raspberry topping on your dessert. We're done with our dinner here, and we're hoping to get some interviews with the brewers.
So that was the conclusion of the meal, and as you heard, the dishes and the beers, it's a fantastic meal. So the meal's over. We're now 10 samples plus the warm-up beer in, and it's time to go talk to some of these guys.
Right, so the first interview we got was with Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head in Delaware.
Okay. All right, let's do this.
All right, you're one of my rock stars. Big fan of yours. I've got your books.
Thank you.
I've got a keg of home-brewed Dogfish Head 90 in my refrigerator right now.
Nice.
I love your Immort Ale. Just about everything you do is right by me. So I've read your backstory, but you might want to reemphasize it for our listeners, I guess.
All right, Dogfish Head opened in 95 as the smallest brewery in the country. And we built a brewing system out of any readers that are familiar with BYO or Zymergy know Sabco makes a system called Brew Magic. and I got an early generation Brew Magic in 94, and I pimped it out with a high speed heat exchanger and a few other things to make it more production friendly so that I could get three batches of 10 gallon yield beer out per day.
Per day, right. I read that.
Yeah, and so the first year, that's how we hung.
What type of fermenters did you have at that time?
I had Sankey's with sanitary ball valves and in a room with a air conditioner that was kept at like 50-something degrees. And so we were yielding about 30 gallons or the equivalent of two kegs of beer a day.
And this was a brew pub, correct?
Yep. All we did was make beer for our own restaurant.
Okay.
But from the get-go, even in Delaware, which didn't have a very evolved beer culture, our goal was to brew weird shit. And it was a challenge in that era to make people care about beers like Aprahop or Immortal or Raison d'Etre.
So these are older style beers.
Yeah, Aprahop, Raison d'Etre, those were beers we were brewing since 95.
Okay.
So you're still going up against the Bud Miller crowd and trying to change minds, change hearts, get them to try some with a little bit of flavor.
And that was a challenge then. And even the local beer publications would kind of laugh at what we were doing and say, oh, isn't that funny, they're using these weird ingredients. And it's wonderful because my good friend Michael Jackson, I'm good. Passed away recently.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. But he was such a champion of, he was one of the first people to say, wow, this brewery's using weird ingredients, and yet they make sense in the beers they're doing. And he was really one of the original champions of Dogfish Head.
So were you packing them in at the brewery?
No. We were flailing and failing. And our restaurant brewery always did well from the get-go, 95, 96, 97. But 97, we separated the production brewery from the restaurant brewery.
Right.
And our production brewery lost money from 97 through 2000. And I had to take every cent that I made at my restaurant just to keep my brewery afloat. Because we were brewing, our portfolio was 60-minute Chicory Stout and Immortal. Those were a year out.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was the whole portfolio?
Wow. And no one gave a fuck. And they thought we were charging too much and brewing weird shit.
When you pay $3 for a six-pack. Now,
did they consider 60 minutes too strong or not strong enough?
Too bitter.
Oh, okay. Because I consider, you know, 60 minutes okay, but I really love your 90. I told you already, that's my favorite beer. Right.
It's the more balanced of the two. Yeah. 60 minutes dry and hoppy, 90 minutes citrusy, malty, and hoppy. But long story short, folks like Michael and Greg Hansel or John Hansel from Malt Advocate, Lou Bryson, Esquire magazine, Food and Wine, started saying, oh, these weird beers that Dogfish Head are brewing make sense. And it took some time, but you know, the beer industry got more interested in the more complicated and complex beers.
And more expensive, right?
More expensive.
I mean, you can brew smaller batches.
It's a buck or two more. I mean, it isn't that much more.
Compared to the wine industry, the beer industry is an amazing value. To buy the world's best wines, you have to be a millionaire, if not a billionaire.
Right.
To buy the world's best beers, you have to go into your local store with fucking $10 bill, and you'll get a six-pack.
You're so right.
Absolutely. So it's a wonderfully altruistic industry that we're proud to be a part of.
Now, I've got a question because I know there's an evolution here where, like you said, you start out 60-minute. At some point, you did the 90-minute. Then you said, well, let's see how much we can take it, the 120-minute.
Right.
What was that, just like some kind of like ever? I mean, where did that all come from? Let's go 120.
That was more, we were doing 60 and 9. 90 we did before 60 as far as bottles. But 120 was really, we'd been doing our worldwide stuff. which at one time was the strongest beer in the world, and then Utopia's
very popular. Worldwide Stout, you got a big name for that, yeah.
Thank you.
Lots of reputation.
Thank you. And we said, okay, we know the yeast regimen to get a beer that strong. Let's apply that to our IPAs. So that's where 120 came from. The same yeast regimen of 120, of Worldwide, we applied to 120.
Is it commercially successful, 120?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. It's a great question that I don't know the answer to. All I know is we love drinking it, so we'll keep making it. Whether or not
we have some on occasion.
Whether or not it's financially feasible and profitable for us, quite frankly, I don't know and I don't care.
Yeah.
Because we love drinking it. And so we make it every quarter, and we make 2,000 cases every quarter.
Okay, cool.
Fun beer.
And you sell it by the 12-ounce bottle?
Or the case. Really, yeah. We sell it to the distributors by the case.
Right, right.
And they sell it retail by the bottle. That's
what it is. So, one of the things I know, so, is that, you know, I was familiar with Dogfish about the hops, the beers, the 60, the 90, the 120. And then I start coming across these more interesting beers, different beers.
Yeah.
Red and white, black and blue, Ford, and some of these others. When did you start just kind of going, well, let's try something different?
Well, some of those that you mentioned precede 90 and 120.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Immort Ale, we've been brewing since 95, the year we opened. And I think it was the first ever wood-aged beer in America. So
seriously, okay, cool.
We've been doing the weird shit since we opened. It was always not a tangent for us, but exactly what we focused on. And we every year we'll always keep bringing out new beers and pushing the limits to explore what beer can be, because that's what we believe in. So Raison, or Red and White and Black and Blue, early. We've only done it for 2 years, but Red and White's my favorite beer that we do, other than 60 Minute. It's my favorite beer we do. And I hope in 3 years from now, there'll be a new beer that we're brewing that is now my favorite beer that we do.
Okay, I got to ask you, can I get the recipe from Fort?
Everything except the last yeast.
They start with 1 ton of raspberries.
Yeah, there's right. A ton of raspberries in a very small volume of beer.
I'm thinking I really want to brew a beer just like that.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful beer.
Thank you. It came out nice. But that's one where the only thing we don't tell is what we do at the end of our yeast regimen for the beers over 12% alcohol.
Okay.
So I'll tell you everything up to that point.
Okay. Fair enough, fair enough.
All right, Sam, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate
your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We'll see you at the GABF.
See you at the GABF.
We're with Rob Todd from Allagash Brewing. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great.
We loved your beer tonight.
Thanks.
The Curio, as always, is fantastic. Your white wit, beautiful. Beautiful beer.
Great way to start.
I had a good time, and the food was phenomenal.
Yeah. Wasn't it? You did
Chef
a good job.
A great time.
All right, we forgot
Our
to...
Chef did a great job.
Yeah,
see, I've been having too much beer tonight, so...
Props to the chef.
Yeah.
Actually, we haven't really talked about this too much. What is the Brett Pack?
The Brett Pack? I don't know who coined that term, but it's a group of five...
It's not Brett Farm Packer fans?
Delinquent brewers? Yeah. I would call us delinquent brewers, but it's Sam from Dogfish, Adam from Avery... Vinny and Tommy, who I'm going to give a lot of shit because they've been
showing
tight.
Yeah, please do. You can lay on right now.
I love the idea about the sex dolls.
Yeah, I know.
That was great.
We almost did it. I love those guys. I really wish they were here tonight. They couldn't make it because I think they were judging, which is very important.
I saw Vinny quite a bit at the Nationals, and he actually gave us some of his Brett contaminated oak chips.
Yeah.
So he was very generous as far as that was concerned. And he was pouring the whole time, you know. So
yeah.
He's one of the few brewers I've actually seen out there pouring his own beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They brew phenomenal beer.
And Natalie is hot.
No comment, because
okay.
I don't want to get beat up when Vinny sees me next time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. His wife was wonderful and supportive.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had a lot of nice beers poured, and Allagash was well represented. It said the Wit, your flagship beer you started off with. We go all the way to the Curio. And the Curio, that's one I want to know about, because that's one of my favorite beers.
We totally stumbled into that beer. We had been brewing a beer called the Triple for a number of years before we made the Curio. And we packaged that in the big traditional cork finish 750 milliliter bottle, which is imported from Europe. And we had a shipment of glass that was delayed, and we had about 150 gallons of beer in a tank that basically didn't have a home. And we also had two 50-gallon kegs of empty kegs from Jim Beam.
Now, were you keeping these wet, or were they dry?
They had just arrived.
Okay, so they're still wet.
And the only reason they had arrived is because I had been talking for years about doing a barrel-aged beer, and the guys in the brewery kept giving me shit for years about, you keep talking about this, why don't you just order the barrels? So finally, I ordered the barrels, and they showed up right about the same time we didn't have glass.
Did they have some Jim Beam in them?
They did indeed, and that's a different story.
Okay.
But it is a story. It's a story. We empty the barrels.
Oh, okay.
There's a little bit in each one. We empty them. I got a bottle in my barn.
Nice.
My wife doesn't know about it. Now, whenever I mow the lawn, I take a big pull off of that.
It's a little lawn mowing fluid.
I love Jim Beam.
Dick's got a little Jack Daniels down in his basement.
I always got a little bourbon to help you get a little eye opener in.
Stashed away.
And Jim Beam is my favorite bourbon.
Jim Beam's
I love Jim Beam. But anyway.
Peter's giving you a beer.
Oh, well, thank you. So, anyway, this glass shipment got delayed. So, instead of throwing the beer down the drain, we put it in the bourbon barrels.
Now, why were you ordering glass from Belgium?
One of the very few places you can actually get this traditional mold.
Oh, okay.
So
you were going for the form.
Yeah. This very traditional mold you get from France through Belgium.
Okay.
And so we filled these barrels on a Wednesday, bung the barrels up, put them in the warm room because it was the only space we had in the brewery. And that was on a Wednesday. I came in on a Saturday, and the barrels looked like they were about to explode. They were under so much pressure. I don't know if the beer re-fermented them in them a little, or whether the CO2 was just coming out of solution, but I went to let a little bit of pressure out of the bungs, and basically just touched the bungs, and the bung exploded off the barrel. Foam came flying out, and I was slurping the foam up off the side of the kegs.
Yeah.
And, I fell in love with the beer.
You got to love your work
for one thing.
I mean,
well, we have had way too many good times integrating bourbon with beer. It's a natural match.
It really is.
It really is. And the vanilla and the oak, the bourbon flavor, that mustiness, the robustness of it. And like you said, it was a triple to start with, and it pairs up great. So,
I didn't really think the triple would be a good match with those bourbon barrels, but it's perfect.
Yeah.
The coconut and vanilla character, and the honey from the honey and passion fruit from the triple. I mean, it really worked out well.
It really does. It just like pops off kinds of flavors out there. You never
and the barrel transforms the beer.
Are they really hand numbered? Do you have somebody sitting there writing the numbers on the bottles?
For the Curio, no. Those now go on a printing machine. In the old days, though, we used to hand number all the
bottles. But they are still the sequential number in the bottles, though, right?
Yeah, and you know, the machine that we print our labels on, it is an old school machine. I mean, this machine is from like the 30s and 40s. It's an old windmill Heidelberg press.
Yeah, Heidelberg.
So every batch goes on the Heidelberg press to get printed. So, these labels are a fortune to make.
They're nice, though.
Yeah, they really are.
It's worth it. It's got a nice handmade feel to it. But, I mean, they cost a fortune. No brewer in their right mind would actually print the labels on these things. But they look good. So, I love them.
So, Rob, are you in the JBF? Do you have any medals or beers that you're hoping to medal with this time?
Or? You know, I hope we medal with something. We'll see.
Okay. How many beers have you entered?
entered like 8 beers.
8?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Mostly in Belgian categories?
Yeah.
Obviously.
But there's so many good beers these days. You know, I just hope to get, we hope to just get something in.
Well, right. We are big fans of the Belgian style, and you said it earlier, Allagash is all about the Belgian style. We are bringing it back, and it's really something that when people try this, it's like you've never had a beer before.
Yeah, you should have seen the people at the table, their reaction. It's the first time, I think, that they ever had a whipped beer.
Yeah,
it's like,
these are people that never had it, and they go like, wow, this is...
They didn't even realize that a beer could be like that.
Eye-opening.
That's amazing.
So, we love the Allagash beers. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, man.
So it's great talking to those guys, and as you just heard, once you get them full of beer, they're going to share all kinds of stuff with you. And the stories you've heard, the stories we heard there, we didn't get them all on tape. It was just really fantastic, and you really appreciated how passionate and dedicated they are to craft brewing. I mean, they do this for fun. Nobody there looked like they were living a life of luxury. They were all just glad to be there and glad they could pay the rent and doing what they love.
Yeah, we tried to get in a conversation with Adam Avery, but he was obviously having too much fun to kind of sit aside, interviewing. I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, and apparently, as you heard on the story about him getting drunk and grabbing a fire hose and trying to wet the whole place down, I mean, the guy likes to have a good time, so sorry we didn't get a hold of him, but maybe down the road. And we'll try and get back on track and get some more shows out coming up soon. Our
Halloween show.
Our Halloween show. Hey, what better time for Halloween shows than late November? Yeah, Thanksgiving. Why not? All right. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Another bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee.